is July 23rd, and the topic this month is attitude.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. And what do we mean by that when we say, such is the nature of life? This thing that we call God, or this thing that we call life, or this thing that we call the universe, is always pressing. It's always pressing against to come through something. And what we do is we give it an opportunity to appear. So we want to give an opportunity for this power, this wisdom, this intelligence to flow through us. And there, we waited and waited and started on time, and then you're late. So what we want to do is give this thing called God, or this thing called the universe, an opportunity to appear in us. Even though that we are already that, and we are already here, and we are already alive in this human form at the present moment, now what we are trying to do is align ourselves with this thing called the universe, so that we are vibrating at the same vibration as the universe, or the same vibration as this thing that we call God. When we align ourselves with the universe, we are able to use that to bring into our life what we want. The whole idea of this teaching is the idea of the law of attraction, that like attracts like, that what you put out into the universe will come back to you. And when I'm also going to add to that, when you put anything out into the universe, not only will it come back to you, you want it to come back to you multiplied abundantly. So when you're treating for anything, know that it's going to come back to you multiplied abundantly. So what we are doing is aligning our own thinking, our own minds, with the mind of God, or learn to think God thoughts after it. We are also trying to discover all the qualities of God. Everything is intrinsic within us already. All the things that we think about God are there. We do not have to get them from anything. What we have to do is draw them forth from us. We already have the idea. We have love, we have intelligence, we have wisdom. We have all the qualities that God has in us. Now we have to learn to use those to bring them to the forefront. Many people think that they don't have the different qualities and so forth of God. And you're always out trying to look for those qualities. And that's where we fall by the wayside, because we're always looking outside of ourselves instead of looking inside of ourselves. Everything that you need to make your life successful is already inside of you. So you have to find that. And you find that by going within, just quieting yourself down. You can meditate if you want. You can pray if you want, or you can just start to think differently. You can change your attitude, the attitude that you were brought up with, that God does this, that, or the other thing, especially that God punishes, which I want to bring up right now. I had an email I never realized, because I don't listen to the news, about that massacre, whatever you want to call it, in the movie theater. But a friend of mine, who's also a metaphysician, wanted to know what my thoughts were on that, and why God would allow this to happen, and is it true? The clincher on the email was, is it true, Dallas, that God sacrifices people? Now, apparently, she goes to a very poor metaphysical church. Because if you think that God is sacrificing anything, God does not sacrifice, remember, and certainly God does not sacrifice people. Why she got that idea that of sacrifice with whatever went on there. I don't know the particulars. I know that people got shot, and I know that the young man did the shooting and so forth. And my compassion goes not only to the people that were shot and hurt and so forth, it also goes, of course, to the young man who did that. Because that young man was not aligned with God at the present moment. He did not know what, that he was worthy, deserving, truly lovable, and that he mattered. So, because he didn't know that, because he didn't love himself, he takes it out on other people. But that has nothing to do with this thing that we're calling God. It has nothing to do with that. God always remains in sweet repose. Reclined, in fact, in sweet repose. God cannot get upset about those things because God is far and above that. God is total love, and in total love, those things do not happen. Nor can this thing called God imagine those things happening, because the mind of God has gotten rid of all that. It's our little finite mind, or our race mind, that has not gotten rid of the different things that happen. So we do have tragedy, and we do have all this killings and so forth that go on in the world. Now, how do you change your attitude about that? Well, first of all, yes, you look at it, and it's a horrible, horrible event. We do not wish for those events to happen. When they do happen, though, we can't throw out the baby with the bathwater and immediately assume that everyone is bad, the world is an awful place to live in, that the world is not a safe place to live in. If you think the world is not a safe place to live in, you're going to draw that to you. So you have to immediately realize that that's an isolated event, that God had nothing to do with it, that it was a human error, and that you have to know that this world is a wonderful place, and this universe is a friendly place to live in. Otherwise, all these things will just keep repeating themselves. Remember, it's only a mirror we're ever looking into. Whatever we see in that mirror, it's reflected back to us. So whatever that young man was thinking, whatever he was doing, it reflected back to him. So, absolute tragedy, but you do not then immediately assume that everyone is awful, that this is going to happen. You have to know that you can change your attitude and realize, along with whatever happened in that movie theater that day, there were thousands of wonderful miracles happening also. And that's what you have to concentrate on. And that's where we fall into trouble, because the world is so convincing, and of course the news is so convincing, and now it's not going to let that go for at least 2 weeks to a month. It has now, they go back through his background, and they're going to tell us every little thing about him. Why do we need to know anything about that child? What we need to know about that child is he made an awful, awful choice. He made an awful choice is all we have to know. And we have to have compassion for him. And certainly my compassion goes out to his parents. Goes out to his parents. And with all the other. So in any time, you have to have compassion for the perpetrator and for those that have been perpetrated upon. It's a round, it's a circle. So you have to do it all. And you do that by changing your attitude, by realizing that, yes, that happened and so forth, but I am not going to allow it to upset my consciousness, to upset my mind. I am going to remain calm, cool, collected, poised, and serene in all situations. Because if I buy into it, then that's my vibration going out. And it's going to come back to me. And then if we have collective mind going out, a lot more is going to come back to us. Now, what else can we say about that situation? How many times have I said, do not become puppets of your conditioning. Do not do that to yourself. He became, because he saw Columbine, he saw all the other things, and because this apparently seems to be something that people do in this day and age. So he just repeats it. He just imitates somebody else. But the bottom line is always that he made the wrong choice and that he didn't realize, you know, that he was worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and he mattered. And he was an intelligent. People say, well, he's a very intelligent person. Intelligence has nothing to do with anything, people. It's a wonderful quality to have. We all want people to be intelligent. But intelligent people make wrong choices also. And he made the wrong choice. What did he do? He listened to his mind. He listened to his mind, and he thought he was his mind. And when his mind said to him, all these people need to be shot because I'm not getting into medical school, because I didn't do this, because it's all their fault, and this and the other thing. That is the mind talking to him. And he bought into that. He bought into his own mind. How many times I've often had murderous thoughts go through my mind. I know enough not to act on them. I know enough not to act on them. He did not know enough not to act on that because he didn't know that he wasn't his mind. He thought his mind was his friend. Now you can see with that incident that this thing that we call the mind, the thing that we use to think with, is not your friend. It was never your friend and will never be your friend, and has never brought you any good news. So you must tell it to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. You must learn to become a witness to your thinking. And when you become a witness to your thinking, you realize that these are thoughts. And I do not have to act on these thoughts. You see, that's just a thought at the present moment. I am not going to act on it. And I'm going to tell it to get out of my mind. Leave me alone. We entertain thoughts in our head that we should not be entertaining. If somebody came into your house and they were rude and mean and threw things around and stuff, you would say to them, please leave. Or you would throw them out, would you not? You would not entertain them. You would not say, oh, keep doing that and I'll make a cup of tea while you're at it. You know? But what do we do when we get a bad thought in our head? We say, oh, well, let's think about that some more. Let's let that run through our minds and let's collect all the other garbage that it can. And that's what it does. When you have a bad thought, it collects all the other garbage throughout your life. And it just builds on that and snowballs into something. You must learn to stop it before it gets out of control. Learn to stop it before it gets out of control. Ken Keyes, years ago, wrote a book called The Handbook of Consciousness. And in the Handbook of Consciousness, he describes the mind as a plantation. And if the master doesn't take care of the plantation, the slaves will burn it down. If you do not control your mind will burn it down. It will take over. It will take over. Do not allow your mind to take over. And that is what happened with this young man. So we have to look at it in that way. And I don't think for one moment that I condone him doing that. I do not condone it. But I do not hate him. You see, in this teaching, we never hate the actor. We hate the action. But we do not hate him. Why do we not hate him? Because he has to be God also. But he made a wrong choice. He chose the wrong thing to do. And now, a lot of people are going to suffer, and of course he's going to suffer. And here again, my compassion goes out, because how would you like that now? If you can't control your own thinking and then you realize what you did, how you would live with yourself is absolutely beyond me. So we have to have compassion for him and for the other 49 people or 70 people, wherever I am. As I say, I don't know the particulars of it. I would have never known the particulars of it. I would have never known that this happened. But I was walking my dog, and of course somebody had to tell me. And then the next time I opened the computer, my friend Jane wanted to know about this and what it is. And did God sacrifice? I have no idea. I wrote back to her and didn't even bother to talk about sacrifice, because I thought that was the most idiotic, ridiculous thing I ever heard of, to think that God sacrifices people. Remember, God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. So if God was sacrificing people, God would be sacrificing its own self. And this thing called God does not sacrifice its own self. That would be like cutting off your arm or cutting off your nose to spite your face. You do not do that. So, with that said, we change our attitude about this whole thing. We see it, you know, yes, it happened. We do not say that it was a reality that did not happen. It was a tragic, horrible, horrible thing. But now, we stop thinking about it. Do not allow your mind loves to think about those things. And they'll just keep building and building and building within your thinking, till you will start to think that the world is a horrible place to live in, an unsafe place to live in, and that people are horrible. So you have to change your attitude. You have to sit down and forgive and realize that that was an isolated incident. It had nothing to do with God whatsoever. It had to do with the human mind. God's mind would never conceive of such a thing. Absolutely an impossibility, because God is love. And if you know that God is love, then the thinking process cannot do something like that. But our little finite minds can do that. So, such is the nature of life. Let your life be that. Let yourself realize that this thing called God is operating in, as, and through you. That you have the exact same qualities that God has. I used to say, remember, we have an expression. In race mind, we say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And we think that that means on this plane of action. It means on the universe itself. We did not fall far from the tree that we came from. Meaning we have not fallen far from this thing called God. We have all the qualities. You cannot say that God is all there is. That God has all these qualities. And that you came from that. And then not have the qualities. You have to have the qualities. If they're not in your life at the present moment, it's because you're not going inside of yourself and asking for them to come to the forefront. I told you before, the whole idea in life is to learn to love yourself. The whole idea also in life is to learn to become God. Because that's what we are doing. We are learning that we are not separated from this thing, that we are growing closer and closer and closer to it. And as we grow closer to God, God grows closer to us, because we're not separated from Him. Our mind likes to tell us that we are. So if you use your imagination, if you use your mind, and you see yourself getting closer and closer to God, and you see God coming closer and closer to you, you have to merge together. You have to merge together because there is no separation. Our finite mind tells us that we are separated, and we are not separated. So, change your attitude about yourself. Change your attitude about what you think you really are. Think of yourself as some part of God, some part of the divine, because you are. There's no other way that you can, there's no other way it can be. No other way it can be. So on this plane of action, we're going to find and see many different things that we do not like. We're going to see many different things that we do not like. But everything that came into this plane of action came into this plane of action to go out of this plane of action. That was what it means in the Bible when it says it came to pay us. It came into existence to pay us out of existence. And we're all going to do that. We're all going to do that. We came onto this plane of action and we're going to pay us out of this plane of action. Now, on another note, what you people do not know, Jerry's mother died this week. This is Jerry. And I didn't have a minute to say, and I think I've told you this before, you have to change your attitude about life and death. You see, life has no opposite. Life has no opposite. You see, the life that Jerry's mother has is still there. The body isn't, but the life is. And we have to know at the present moment that she's completely occupied in a whole new life, in a whole different type of life. And she's moving on. She's going forward in life. Because this is what God does. God moves forward in life. So, do not think in the mind, and in race mind, we have the idea. We think it's life and death. We think the opposite of life is death. No. The opposite of birth is death. Life has no opposite. Life continues. The body will go. The vehicle will go. I don't know how many people realize that this body is merely the horse that you're riding through life. It's merely the horse that you are riding through life. One day the horse will no longer be there. Does that mean when the horse goes, you go? No. It does not mean that at all. So, change your attitude about that. Learn to see things differently. We have to keep raising our consciousness higher and higher to be able to accept these things. And we don't. I think that all these things, and I'm not are lessons perhaps, but never in a punitive way. This incident that happened with all these people being killed and so forth is a great opportunity for you to sit down and decide exactly what you believe. What kind of an attitude do you have towards it? Do you hate it? Do you hate him? Do you hate this? Do you hate that? Or can you change your attitude and realize that when that was happening, and in that day that it happened, I don't even know the date or the day, miracles were happening all over. And we never hear of the miracles that happen. So, we have to change our attitude and see it differently. See all these incidents differently. Otherwise, we will become frightened people who will never go to a movie again, who will lock themselves in the house, afraid of everything. There is nothing to be afraid of. There can be nothing to be afraid of. Because everything is God. and you can't have God and fear going on at the same time. You can only have God going on. You can only have love going on. And yes, sometimes it gets distorted on this plane of action. It gets distorted. But this young man got distorted simply because he did not love himself. You cannot love yourself and go out and do something like that. If you love yourself, you have to love everybody else and you have to love everything. So the poor child did not know that. He did not know that he was worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that he mattered. He was not able to love himself back to center and to see reality the way it is, or to see truth the way it is. He allowed his mind to tell him otherwise. And that's what this teaching is all about. This teaching. Yes, we talk about God. We talk about the universe. We talk about all these qualities. But this teaching is to teach you to use your mind correctly. To teach you that you are not your mind. That your mind is yours to use. And that you can use it the way you wish to use it. You can have compassion for what goes on. But if you want to go into a pit of despair and so forth, that's not a good attitude. That is not a good attitude to have. The world likes to tell you that. The world likes to tell you to go into this pit of despair and so forth, to see all the bad things in the world, and then to reaffirm them in your mind. Oh, people are horrible. This is wrong, that's wrong. No, don't do that to yourself. People are not horrible. People make poor choices. People make wrong choices, bad choices. But there's nothing wrong with the people. They just have not learned to control their thinking. They have not learned to become witnesses to their thinking. You must learn to become a witness to your thinking so that you can correct any thought that comes into your head. So if you get a thought that says, I should go out and kill those people, you have to realize that that is not a good choice. That is not a good choice. You see, everything in life is a choice. Everything we do is a choice. We choose to do things. You see, circumstances have nothing to do with anything. Yes, they say this young man was going to become a doctor. He was going to do this. He was going to do that. He'll never be able to accomplish those things because of the poor choice now that he made. So, think of that. What choices are you making? What attitudes are you holding that you can change? You can always change. You can change your attitude. And you can see life the way it is. Or you can hold it in your mind till it becomes the way you want it to be. Just because something at the present moment has an appearance that you do not like, you cannot buy into that appearance. You have to hold in your mind what you want to see. When you hold in your mind what you want to see, even though it does not exist at the present moment, it will exist for you. That is the change that we can make. That is how we use this teaching. We put into the mind, into this mind of God that we are living, moving, and having our being in, we put into it what we want to draw out of it. We put into it what we want to draw out of it. So what are you putting into the mind? Not only your mind, but the mind of God. So, it's always going to boil down to choice, and it's going to boil down to attitude. I started this whole month by stating that attitude is one of the most important things that you can have, and it's one of the easiest things that you can change. You have to catch it to be able to change it, but you can change it. Attitude will get you more places and into more things than any education that you have. Your attitude will do that for you. People love to be around people with a great attitude, with a loving attitude, a caring attitude, you say, a prosperous attitude. And you can do that. So I think what I want to say is, don't judge by appearances. Don't judge by appearances. You know, what you see in front of you is not the truth. You must not be confused and convinced by appearances. You must learn to see what you want to see, because it's your mind that is doing it. It is your mind that is doing it. So whatever is in front of you at the present moment that you don't like, choose to see it differently. And it will change for you. It will change for you. That's one of the tenets of this teaching. And that's why we call it scientific. They can prove this. I can prove it in my own life. And if I can prove it, you people can prove it also. So, don't buy in to all that stuff that's going on out there. It will bring you nothing but hard times and bad times. You have to make up your mind how you want to see the world. You have to make up your mind how you want to see yourself and how you want to operate in this world. And you hold that image of yourself, that image will become you. It will become you. So, never give up on it. When your mind tells you something else, you must correct that immediately and say, no, this is what I want to think. Remember? Ernest Holmes said you must learn to think the thought that you want to think. And you must learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. So what feeling do you want to feel now? What do you want to feel about that massacre? That it was a tragedy, it was this, that, and the other thing? Or do you want to have compassion and realize that the young man could not love himself back to center, and he did not know that he was worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that he mattered? If he would have known those things, it would have never happened. It would have never happened. So we have to teach people this, and we have to teach ourselves this, so that we do not fall into that. You see, any of us could have done that. Any of us could have allowed our mind to talk us into that. You see? So you have to have compassion for the person. Now, I not only have compassion when those things happen, I am very grateful that it wasn't a role that I had to play. I'm just absolutely grateful that it was not a role that I had to play. So that's how I change my attitude towards these things. So, and again, I will tell you that God does not sacrifice things. That is so archaic, so antiquated, I could take that young lady and wring her neck for doing something like that. I think she's a leftover Baptist or something from Texas. To think that God And she's been around me for years, and she's been in the teaching for years to come up with, was God sacrificing these people? For what reason whatsoever? You see? That is, clear back to cavemen and so forth, who did sacrifices and so forth. We don't sacrifice things anymore. We have moved higher in consciousness. And that's what this is all about, is learning to move higher and higher and higher in consciousness till you go back to what they call the Godhead. And we're all traveling always back to the Godhead. Some of us faster than others. Some of us faster than others. And I will say one more thing about Jerry and Jerry's mother. It was time for her to go. And there was a place at the table for her. And the train left the station without us. But there'll be a train for us one day. And we will get on that train. That's all it is. There is no such thing as an opposite to life. Please bring in that into your consciousness. No such thing as an opposite. Life is life. Life is life. And it continues. And it continues and it continues. That's how you build your consciousness. That's how you stretch your consciousness. And that's how you change your attitude. Your attitude towards life itself. So that you realize that this thing called life is an absolutely wonderful gift that will continue throughout eternity. When I went to a brand name church, they always said world without end. It's always life without end. It will continue. People will leave this plane of action. And they'll be someplace else. But the life will always be there. The life will always be there. So, it's always going to be your attitude. It's always going to be looking in a different direction and in a different way to find what makes you feel good about yourself and about life. That's a choice that you make for yourself. You choose your attitude. Life is a choice, and your attitude is a choice. So choose to see life as an absolutely wonderful, wonderful experience. And it will be that for you. Because you're putting that energy out there. You're putting that vibration out there, and it will come back to you. If you think that life is horrible and rough and mean and all that kind of stuff, that is what's going to come back to you. Because we're just always looking in a mirror, and it's a reflection coming back to us. So we have to know what reflection we want to see in the mirror. I've said this 100,000 times. You do not see with your eyes. You see with your mind. Your eyes are a wonderful thing, but they're not reliable. They are not reliable. In fact, none of your senses are reliable. But yet, we rely on them constantly. And we think they're telling us the truth. And they are not telling us the truth. So learn to become a witness to your thinking. And use that witnessing as the thinker behind the thought. finger behind the thought, never touched by anything. You see, there's a place within you that has never been touched by anything on the outside of life. You must learn to go to that place. That's your safe place. And from there, you can build your life. You can build your life. But if you allow the world to convince you and you allow your own mind to convince you what's going on, it's not going to be a pleasant life for you. You can get through that, this life that way. You can. But it's not going to be a pleasant way to do it. It's not going to be a pleasant way to do it. So, it's always your attitude. What am I holding in my mind? Am I holding myself in the highest of esteem? Do I know that I am one with this thing called God? Do I know that I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter? With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. Know that you not only matter to yourself, that you matter to this thing called God or this thing called the universe, that God would be incomplete without you, that God needs each and every one of us, each and every one of us. All right, with that said, I will do my comments. I should put them up like Johnny Carson. The degree to which you think is a determining factor in creating a life of prosperity. The degree to which you think is a determining factor in creating a life of prosperity. You must see prosperity everywhere. You must think prosperity everywhere. Even if it's not in your life at the present moment, you must see it everywhere. Remember the visual that I use? I go into Whole Foods and see all those oranges and apples and all those things piled to the ceiling. And I say, oh, what an abundant world we live in. What an abundant world we live in. How prosperous we are. This is how I change my mind. This is how I change my attitude. If we came from unlimited abundance, then we must be what we came from. We say that God is totally abundant. God is totally prosperous. God is all there is. We then say that we came from that, do we not? We say that we came from God. Well, then if we came from God, we came from abundance. We must be what we came from. Think of that. You must be what you came from. God is abundant, therefore I am abundant. You see? This is how you change. This is how you change your attitude. You have to do that for yourself. I get what I think about, whether I want it or not. You're always going to get what you think about. Remember one of the little sayings in religious science? What I think about, I bring about. What I think about, I bring about. What are you thinking about? Thinking about prosperity, thinking about abundance, thinking about love, thinking that it is a wonderful world that I live in, that I'm happy to be here, that I'm filled with joy to be here, that I'm loving my life. You must have a firm determination to learn the art of passionately believing in something that doesn't yet exist. Don't you love that one? You must have a firm determination to learn the art of passionately believing in something that doesn't yet exist. Art. What do we mean? Art. You practice all the time to make something an art form. You have to practice this teaching constantly to make it an art form for you. You must become passionate about it. Last week, remember I said you must desire something. Passionately desire. Desire and passion. You must get, what did Ernest Holmes say? Or, excuse me, not Ernest Holmes. What did our friend Emmett Fox say? Warmth of feeling. You must have warmth of feeling to be able to demonstrate something. And you get warmth of feeling with desire and passion. With desire and passion. We are taught not to desire things. We are taught not to become passionate because we're afraid it won't work. And we're afraid we're going to be disappointed. Don't wish for too much. You'll just get disappointed. Please, desire everything that you want. Ask for more. Be passionate about it. Don't worry about being disappointed. This thing called God will not disappoint you. This is not a capricious God that we're talking about. God does not give you an ice cream cone and then before you're able to take a lick, rip it out of your hands. So, be passionate. Have desire for what you want. See it even before it exists. Why do we see it even before it exists? You know, everything already exists in mind. People fail to realize that. Everything is already done in mind. When I say that, what do I mean? Everything is already done in the mind of God. Everything is already done in the mind of God. When Moses led the people out of Egypt, they would have had the ability to have airplanes and automobiles. It was already in the mind of God. They just didn't know it. You see, we are always thinking that we are discovering something. In this world, we never discover anything. We uncover things. We uncover things. Along with it. The idea of airplanes, what came into existence, which was already there. The laws of aerodynamics. They were always in existence. We just uncovered them. But we think we're discovering something. On this planet, we're always saying we discovered, oh, I discovered this, I discovered. You didn't discover anything. You uncovered something. How many times have they say there's not a new species of whatever on this planet, and then they discover a new species? They didn't discover it. They uncovered it. It was always there. Everything is already done in the mind of God. So if you can think that it's already done in the mind of God, you must hold that with desire and passion, that image, that picture that you have in mind, and it will outpicture itself. So we can go right back again to the idea, such is the nature of life, that all it wants and all it asks is an opportunity to appear. Everything that's in the mind of God, which is already done, wants to appear. You must hold it long enough because it'll push through. It will push through. Now, I think I remember, and I told Andy this months and months and months ago. If everything's already done in the mind of God, and you can see it in your own mind and so forth, now why didn't it come down onto this plane of action? Because it's not heavy enough to come down on this plane of action. You must give it clothing. Remember, in the Bible, it clothed itself and dwelt among us. You must give it the clothing. You must give it the weight to come down. Now, if you give it enough thing and it doesn't come down, then you bore a hole so that it can drop down to this plane of action. And it will drop into your lap. Already done in the mind of God. Trust your thoughts to attract health. Trust your thoughts to attract the health you desire. Do you trust your mind to do that for you? Every day, I treat for health. Every day, I tell myself I don't have an ache or a pain in my body. But every organ in my body is functioning exactly the way it's supposed to be functioning. That there is no war of any type or discord going on inside of me. That everything is working in harmony with each other. And all my organs like each other. One is not attacking the other. Where they ever got that idea? When a doctor told me that once, I was punched him in the head. Something's attacking. Don't listen to that. Not attacking you. Now, we'll close with this. I think this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I'll read it so that you'll hear it. I am a piece of God, a divine, individualized expression of God. I am worthy and deserving of all that God is, and all flows into my life. The abundance I desire is on its way, and I will do everything I can to avoid blocking and resisting this divinely inspired flow. I will do everything I can to avoid blocking. How do we block it? We block it by thinking thoughts of lack and limitation. We block it by buying into the world. We block it by not changing our attitude and realizing that the world is abundant, that I came from abundance, therefore I must be abundant. And here again, if it's not showing up in your life, hold it long enough, believe in it, and it will show up in your life. Because it's already there. It is already there. Do you need that? Do you want me to read it one more time for people? I am a piece of God, a divine, individualized expression of God. I am worthy and deserving of all that God is, and all flows into my life. The abundance I desire is on its way. And I will do everything I can to avoid blocking and resisting this divinely inspired flow. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.